腿。Good evening and welcome everybody. So today is 13th July. Bad day. I mean, for Chinese, 13th is really good though. For Westerners, 13th is bad luck. For Chinese, it's good luck. So this evening, I would like to begin with one of the teaching of the Buddha that he gave to Ananda. So at once, and Ananda, he's the assistant of the Buddha. So one morning he went out for alms rounds. During the Buddha's times, he went out to alms round. And one of the lady went to this, went to Venerable Ananda. He asked Ananda, he said, this lady asked Ananda. And she said, my father-in-law just passed away, not long ago. So, and when he passed away, they asked the Buddha, where is his father-in-law reborn? You know, where did he go? Then the Buddha told her that her father-in-law reborn in the Tusita realm. This is one of the heavenly realm. And she said that her father-in-law, especially in the later life, that he's been like living a celibate life, like keeping 8 precepts, and he's practicing really very diligently. But how is it come about? How come another person in the village, this lady said, and she saw this person just live an ordinary content household life. Like he's only keeping 8 precepts. He, in his later life, he didn't live a celibate life. But when he passed away, then someone went to the Buddha and asked the Buddha, where did he reborn? Where did he go? And then the Buddha said that he also reborn in the Tusita realm. So then this lady said, how come? It seems like this person has a better quality than that person. But how come this person also reborn in the same place, you know, in the heavenly realm? Actually, so talk about heavenly realm is remind me of a joke. And there's a man, he just died. And then he have to go to this judgment. So, and Saint Peter told him that, you know, before you see God, but, you know, I have to talk to you, you know, because I have looked over your life. And I have to be really honest to you. Because throughout your whole life, you haven't done anything particularly good or bad. So I find that it's very difficult to make any decisions. Can you help me, you know? Can you think of any things that you have done that particularly, you know, really good, you know, so that you can help me to make a decision? Because it's very difficult because you in your whole life, you just, you know. Then this newly soul, you know, arrived, so think for a moment. He said, ah, yes, I remember. He said, when I was driving and I saw a group of robbers harassing a guy, and I stopped my car and I put it aside and I pulled out my bag and I went to the leader of these robbers, you know. He said, he went to him and he said, you leave this guy alone, you know. If you don't leave it alone, you have to deal with me. So then he said, wow, that impressive. When did this happen? Then he replied, just 3 minutes ago. So when this Ananda when this lady asked Ananda, he said, how come, you know? You see, it seems like someone have better quality than the other one, but they're reborn in the same place. How does this work? He said. So actually Ananda didn't know the answer. He also didn't know. So he said, okay, this is what the Buddha said. So he went back and he asked the Buddha. He said, how come, you know, he told the Buddha what happened. Then the Buddha said, no one can, you can never judge a person. Only the Buddha himself be able to know, to judge. We can never judge a person. Like, from outside, you can never judge. So the Buddha said, and then from that, the Buddha went on to give Ananda a teaching. So he said, there are six types of person. The first type of person, he said that he's a pleasant and a gentle person, and the person like the companion in his holy life, all the monks love him, you know, like to be with him because he's such a nice person, very gentle and pleasant. Everybody likes him, like to live with this type of person. But he had not heard the teaching, and he has not much learning, and has no keen understanding, and has not attained temporary liberations of the mind. That means a deep meditation in the deep absorption, to attain that states of mind. That means he said that person did not haven't heard the Buddha's teaching and never practiced. And meditation and put into the practice and attains that absorption. And this person, when he passed away, and he will not, he will deteriorate, he will not rise up, and he will not reborn to a good place. He go to a lower place. He said, why? It seems that such a nice man, so pleasant. Then the Buddha went on and said, that is the second type of person. The second type of person, that is this person have the same qualities, a pleasant, gentle, you know, exactly the same qualities. But this person heard the Buddha's teaching. He has much learning, and he has this keen understanding. He has the understanding of the teaching, and he has attained this absorption. Because he meditate, he has this a deep state of mind. He put into practice. And this person, after he passed away, and he reborn in a higher realm. So he go higher. So he said, why? Because this person has the Dhamma. The Dhamma stream carry him to a better rebirth. So it seems like it's the same quality, isn't it? So the most important thing is not important what qualities you have. The most important thing now, isn't it? Because that person practiced. Then the Buddha went on to say, that is the third type of person. The third type of person that this person prone to anger and pride. From time to time, he has this greed rise up in his mind. And he has no heard the Buddha's teaching, have not much learning, has no keen understanding of the Dhamma, and has not attained this deep state of state of mind, is absorption. And when he passed away, then he reborn, he's deteriorated, he reborn in a lower realm. So this is the third type of person. And the fourth type of person has the same quality. He said the anger, prone to anger, but because of he had heard the Buddha's teaching, and he put into practice, and he had the understanding of the Dhamma, and he had practice meditations, and he had this absorption state of mind. And when he passed away, and he reborn in a better place, in a higher place. So the Buddha said, why? Because the fourth person, because he practiced, and because of the Dhamma stream, carry him over to the next life. So we can never judge. You think that, oh, he is an angry person, he's a terrible person. We judge them, isn't it? But you can never know. See, no one can judge. The Buddha said, only I can judge. Then the Buddha went on to set the fifth and the sixth person. The fifth and the sixth person, that the fifth person is also prone to anger and pride. From time to time, he has this verbosity rise up in his mind. That means he's a very long-winded person. And when he's and he has not heard the Buddha's teaching, and he did not has not much learning, has no keen understanding of the Dharma, and have not attained this temporary liberation of the mind, that is absorption. And he passed away, he reborn in a lower rank. It's not a good place, it deteriorates. And the sixth person have the same qualities, but because of his, have the Buddha's teaching, he heard the Buddha's teaching, and he have much knowledge of the teaching, he understand the teaching, have the keen understanding, and he also attained his practice meditation, and he's attained the deep absorption, that this person reborn in a better place. So as you can see, so what he inherited is not important, because a lot of people, you should like to give them, like to give themselves an excuse. I can't practice my karma as such. It's what we have done in the past is past. That is, you know, that is past. We can't do anything about it. It's past. The most important thing now, like Angulimala, he is a killer. I think none of you here close to him, isn't it? And he become enlightened. Because the most important thing now, because he practiced. So what happened? So we can never judge. The reason why we judge others, because we judge ourselves, isn't it? It's come from ourselves. So what we put out is a reflection of ourselves. So we judge ourselves. We have no confidence in ourselves. We think that this practice only for those special living beings, you know, they are special. No, I can't do it. No, not me. You know, I'm not as good. I'm bad. So this is how, because we judge ourselves, it's come from the ego, the sense of self. Who we take ourselves to be, the Buddha said. The Buddha said, we this I making, my making, and the tendency to the conceits, the three conceits. So we create this sense of self, like for example the body. So we take it to be me and mine, my body. This is, we create the sense of self. Then we attach to the body, the clinging on, and then body get old, you know, that is normal. So but we are not accepting that. You know, it's happened. One of our supporters, she's in her late 80s, and she told me she's not accepting the fact that she grow old. She's old, like you're no longer as strong as before. She said, I hated that when my children and my grandchildren to try to hold my hand, as if I'm a cripple. I'm okay, I'm fine. Like she's not accepting, you know, that this is natural. We have this body. We were subject to sickness, old age, and death. So the body is going to get old, you know, as you grow old, you know. That, but if that is my, this, because we have this me and mine. So the Buddha said it's good that we develop the perception of non-self. We can see that this is non-self. If there is a self, the Buddha said, we can ask the body not to grow old, isn't it? Whether we like it or not, when we grow old, a lot of things we can't do, whether we would love to do it, but we can't. And the body, you know, the hair falling off, and the teeth also falling off, that is natural, isn't it? And also remind me of another joke. There's an old couple, and there was a young man. He went to McDonald's for lunch, and he saw there was a couple there, old couple, you know, and the two of them only order one meal, and he got an extra drinking cup. So then he saw this the husband started to cut the hamburger into half, very carefully, mindfully, exactly measure half. So half hamburger. So he give. So then he will divide the drinks, you know, into half. Then he started to count the fries, you know. So one for you and one for me, one for you and one for me until the last one. So he counted. Then after that, the husband started to eat, and the wife sitting there, putting the hand on the lap and just looking. And this man couldn't hold himself anymore. So he went up, he said, excuse me, you know, can I offer you another meal? Because you just can't stand that, you know. Then the husband said, no. We have been married for 50 years, you know. We always 50-50, half-half, 50-50. So we've been doing that all these years. So no, thank you, you know. Then he saw the wife. He said, then he started to ask the wife, why not you, you know, when are you going to start eating? Because your you know, your husband is started to eat. So when are you started to eat? Then the wife said, no, because, it's his turn with the teeth. It's really bad jokes, isn't it? It's non-self, you know. I was being conditioned. I've been conditioned because my teacher Ajahn Brahm he tell bad jokes, you know. So it's not my fault, you know. I've been conditioned by him, you know. So yeah, we grow old and then we fight. We are not accepting, so we can grow old, you know, gracefully. You know, like someone, you know, told me that, you know, my daughter tried to buy me something. I told her that I give you back money because I'm okay. I can earn my own living and da-da-da. I said, why not you allow your daughter to offer you something? To give them a chance, the opportunity to practice kindness and compassion. You know, that is, but because of we couldn't accept the fact that we grow old. We take this body to be me and mine. And they say it's good that we develop this perception. It's okay. It's fine to be. It's okay to be old. Then we just, you know, we grow old. We grow old gracefully. That is part of life. That is we bring with us, you know, with a whole package. Now it's advertisement, everything. You have the whole package, you know. So you have this body. This is what you bring with you. And then we take this body to be me and mine. We attach to this body. And then this body and mind, this body made out of these five aggregates. The body and the four aggregates, that is the feelings. And even the feelings we take is, take the feeling as me and mine. We identify who we are. You know, we identify ourselves, the feelings, you know, we are angry person, we're such a terrible person. And someone recently said to me that I'm an angry person. And I try so hard. You know, each morning I try to tell myself, he said, to be friendly, to be calm. Then I still got upset, I still get angry. Then I told her, I said, because you try to own it. You know, the anger is not belongs to you. You make it your anger. This is my anger. I am the angry person. So then I said, now you are creating another sense of self. So this self is no good, angry person. So you try to get rid of this angry person. And you create another sense of self that is kind, friendly, and calm person. So I said, the more you try to, you know, the harder you try, the worse. And then she tried very hard Then I told her that you are not accepting yourself. You are judging yourself. You are not accepting who you are. We have to begin where we at, isn't it? That is the acceptance. Even towards our defilements. Because the fact that we've been born with this body and in this samsara, we have these defilements, we have great hatred and delusions. It says nothing, you know, that is wrong. That is part of the package. You know, it's part of that. So I said, yeah, because you're not accepting who you are, you've been fighting that, you know, I don't like this cell is bad, no good. And you try to create another image that is a good one. I said, the harder you try, the worse, isn't it? Because sometimes you try not to make mistakes, we make more mistakes. It's true, you know. I said, you become like not, you're not relaxed. You become more tense. And then you're so afraid. She becomes so fearful that she got upset. She got angry. I said, and then because she said, you know, I don't want to be an angry person because I read the book. The book said angry person go to hell. And I said, no, no, no. I said, you won't go to hell. I said, but Buddha said only those heavy karma, those that kill their parents and those that kill the enlightened one. They rape the bhikkhuni. I said, you know where that you can rape bhikkhuni because she's a she. So I said, that's you're too far from that. I said, even Angulimala can get enlightened. I said, it's all right. You know, so I said, not to judge yourself because if you think you're an angry person because you try to own the anger come and go. The anger won't stay there forever. But we think that, I said, just like a very famous saying of Ajahn Brahm, he said, there is no criminal. It's only a person who commit the crime. I said, you are just a person. That moment, you got upset. That moment, you have anger. But you try to own the anger. You label yourself. Then we put ourselves into the prison. You know, we sentence ourselves, you know, to life imprisonment that forever I'm an angry person. Just because this moment I got upset, I'm angry, so I'm an angry person. So if you think that you're an angry person, you'll be angry. Because you create that yourself. You create the image. Then you live up to your expectation to be an angry person. No, this, and then because of you try to get rid of this angry person, this identity angry, and you create another identity that is kind. So then you're not accepting yourself. And you try to get it. That is craving to be. That is the cause of the suffering, the sense of self. We want to, you know, craving to be. And craving not to be. And craving to be a good person, a kind person, a calm person. And then craving not to be a angry person, and you still crave. That is the cause of the suffering. That is why we add on. Actually, what we experiencing is not important. If we're angry, greed, we experience, you know, greed, or we experience anger, it's come and go. It's just the feelings, and either pleasant or unpleasant. So it arises, it's passed away, it's not going to stay there forever. So sometimes we try to, for example, when it's unpleasant feelings, we try to make it go away. The harder we try, it stay longer. And then the pleasant feelings, we try to make it stay longer. It can't, because the feelings come and go. Is there anyone here always can happy, happy, happy all the time? No, isn't it? Sometimes you feel happy and sometimes you feel, you know, happy and happiness and suffering. So when the happiness gone, then we suffer. When the suffering gone, we feel happy. So we just live between them. But we've been pushed, you know, swing, you know, around, you know, by this, you know, we carry away when we are happy. And then we got upset when we get caught when we are not happy. That is the suffering we created for ourselves. Actually, the most unpleasant feelings is come and go, but we try to own it. So the Buddhists talk about non-self. It doesn't mean that no one there. It's just that whatever, even the body, the feelings, the experiences that we experience right now, it can't stay. It's come and go all the time. But the problem, if we hold on to that, we create the sense of self. We build a home. So that is the suffering. That is not that what we're experiencing is matter. And also having defilements is not a problem. But how we relate to our defilements, that is the problem. Do we relate to our defilements with kindness and compassion? To accept who we are? Because come from our sense of self, we are not accepting ourselves. We think that we should be able to, you know, we be able to do that. You know, we should be able to overcome the anger. Then this is how we've been, you know, identify ourselves. We put the label on. Then we have to live up to this identity, image who we are. Then it causes us a suffering rather than accepting it. Who we are, it's not that we deny, we acknowledge. And if we have done any mistakes, we forgive and we let it go. So this is when, then we keep, you know, this is accepting that, who we are, where we at. So that is then, this is how we constantly create the sense of self. The body, we take it to be mine, even the feelings, you know, we take it to be me and mine. So we create lots of suffering for ourselves. And then this is how, through feelings, we develop the perception, how we perceive things. Because our perception is being perverted by our likes and dislikes. So, because we are not perceived things purely, it's in colored, it's being distorted, it's distorted. It's a view, how we view things. So from the perceptions, then we develop how we view things. You know, how we view ourselves, even we holding on to our views and opinions, isn't it? And this is how it develops. For example, this perception, when the feelings, something that we like, for example, like some people have this bad experience with dogs. When they look at dogs, so the perception of dogs is terrible. And someone had good experience with dogs, they look and say, wow, it's so lovely. But it's perception, because the perception has come from the past experience. So it's not based on that we not perceive things purely. So it's been distorted. Then we develop a way of looking at things, like the conditioning. They say a lot of this conditioning, sometimes we don't even know where is this coming from. So, for example, we all see things different, isn't it? Even we look at the same thing. So, something that, you know, you think that is wonderful for you, to another person is terrible. You know, for example, like for Chinese thing that 13 is a good luck number. And the perceptions, you know, like in the West, they think that it's unlucky. And this is how we started to, this is how when we have this view, and then go on to the thinking about it. When we think about it, and we reaffirm our view, and this we carry over, and then we reinforce our view. For example, like for a Chinese, they believe that 13 bring them good luck. Even in Malaysia, you know, people have to pay a lot of money to get 13, you know, this good a lucky number. And it so happened that they have won a lottery, the lotto, and they think, wow. And they believe that the number brings them good luck, isn't it? And they reinforce their view that, oh yeah, it's because of the number. Actually, it's nothing to do with the number. It's just because of in the previous life they have done something maybe good, you know. And it's just that this life he's got good karma, then he's won a lottery. It's nothing to do with the number. So whether, you know, and the other person, you know, believe that 13 is a bad luck. If it's someone die in the family, and then they think that the number is bad luck, and because whether they got the 13 or not, we are all going to die, isn't it? It's nothing to do with the number. We will get sick, we will get die. So this is how, from the feelings, perceptions, and we develop the view. And we hold on to the view. Because there is it's very subtle. They say, why people argue, fight, we have conflicts, we have war. Because people, you know, fight, argue all the time, you know. And because of this is me, the view is to be me and mine, my view. I'm right. So we make other people wrong. Because I'm right. This is my view. This has come from the sense of self, the ego. And create lots of suffering and arguments and lots of conflicts. And even sometimes it's funny, it's even some husband and wife, they married 20, 30 years, they argue all the time. I'm fighting all the time. And they still endure, you know. I remember Ajahn Brahm used to say that you know, marriage, you have this three rings, you know, engagement rings, wedding rings, and suffering. So I said, still lack of one ring, that is enduring. So you endure. And then sometimes this is how people keep, you know, they think that, you know, they keep doing the same thing, they expect to have different results. No. So you have to change your perception of looking at things, relate to things. So this is how fighting and arguing. And I remember another joke about this arguing husband and wife. They married for many years, this husband and wife, they married for over 20 years. So, start from the beginning when they got married, they already argue all the time, and they cursing each other. You know, then the husband, he's the one who know black magic, and usually the villagers, and if the dog disappear and they lost their dogs, they will go to him, and then he'd be able to find their dogs, you know, or they lost anything, they lost their things, they will go to him, and because he know black magic. Then he used to curse his wife, you know. He said, if I die, you know, I will come back, you know, I will take my way up and come back and haunt you. I will not let you, he said like that. Then after a while, and this husband had a certain death, he just passed away. So after he's passed away, so the wife, you know, so buried him, had a funeral. Just immediately after his funeral, the wife started to go partying, you know, as if there's no tomorrow, you know, with the, you know. And then the neighbors started to feel strange. They asked the wife, he said, you know, aren't you not afraid, scared? Because your husband said he's coming, he's going to dig his way up, you know, to come back and haunt you. You're not afraid. Then this wife said, who's care? I'm not afraid. This silly old idiot man, he said, you know, let him duck his way up. Anyway, I'm already burying him upside down. Yeah. So this is how it, you know, and lots of this, because of we don't see things as they really are, we create the sense of self, and this time we constantly judging ourselves, judging others, we think that we can't do this, it's impossible, you know, and we think, oh, I have lots of defilements, you know, and I can't do it, you know, it's not possible. No, don't try to own the defilements. So when you have defilements, non-self, not belongs to me. This is not me, not mine. Because you're trying to own it. So because this is a gradual training. So even this, you know, it is not going to go away immediately even you start practicing. So that is possible. Because if we constantly judging ourselves, we have lack of this confidence. So we think that it's not possible. But it's possible. Each one of us has this potential. You know, even someone, a killer, you know, be able to get enlightened. A lot of people think that, you know, the karma, what we are now experiencing now, is because of the previous action that we have done. But what are we going to do with this moment is important. How we live our life is important. How we relate to this moment is important. Because this moment, if we relate to this moment with kindness, with compassion, with acceptance, with forgiveness, forgive ourselves, then we create the next moment, the future. Because it's important. Because it's just like the Buddha says, the karma that what we have done, it's just like we inherited a piece of land. For example, someone have very good situation, they have maybe good quality, you know, in this life. It's just like the karmic inheritance. So it's just like he inherited a piece of land. Maybe it's a good land, a fertile land. But if you don't plant it a good seed, and you don't nurture the seed, you don't plant it, you don't water that, it's not going to grow. If we have, you know, what we inherited, if not a fertile land, but if we put in fertilizer, we plant in a good seed, we water it, and we nurture it, and it will grow. It's grow to a beauty. We plant in a sweet mango seed, and it will grow in the big mango tree, sweet mango. We let that grow. They say this moment is important. So, not to waste our time to always, you know, carry the guilt on what we have done, you know, in the past. We all have done all sorts of things in the past. That is already past. Now, this moment is important. So, because of we constantly judge ourselves. So, if you think that you can't, you will not try, isn't it? You will not even put in effort, you know, to put into practice, you know, that you don't, because you think that it's impossible. It's not for me. It's only for those, you know, special beings. So it's very important that the Buddha's teaching, that if we keep reflecting on this non-self, develop the perception of non-self. When you see non-self, you see this impermanent. So things come and go, whether you like it or not. So when we see the impermanent, we become more appreciative. Appreciative of this moment. Appreciative of what we got. Because we always take it for granted. We always take it for granted. We think that, you know, for example, we think that we always find fault. It's not good enough. So when we have this, you know, we know that this thing is not going to last. We become more appreciative. And we make the most of it while we got it. So when we have these pleasant feelings arises, we enjoy that moment. So we don't try to interfere, we don't try to hold on to it and try to make it stay longer. So we have these unpleasant feelings. It's all fine because it's so past, it's not going to stay. So then this is how, then we see the impermanent, then we see there is suffering. So then we understand suffering. We know that this is just part of life. No matter what we do, it's not going to be perfect. So this is part of life. So the more we can understand suffering, the more we can see where's the suffering coming from. It's not what we're experiencing is a problem. It's how we relate to the experience. That is most important. That's like, that is, this is one of the ways that we develop this when we reflect on that, and it's help us to develop this perception of non-self. So when we see that it's non-self, so we don't try to own it, because the bigger the ego it is, the easier we get hurt. And we get upset easily. So when we have this loving kindness, you know, we acceptance, that is loving kindness. We accept who we are. We at ease and at peace who we are, and we have to start with where we at. So this loving kindness, even towards our own defilements, accepting who we are. So it's fine. Because sometimes we are not accepting, we're fighting, constantly fighting. It causes more suffering for ourselves. So this is a very gradual training. All we need to do, we have to keep practicing and keep practicing. That's right. And slowly then we have to wear out the energy. You know, it's just that, you know, it's not going to, for example, like we experience anger. So it's not going to go away immediately. But if we not react reinforce or we push it away of our emotion. So next time when there's a similar situation, it will become less intense, but it's still there. You know, the defilement is still there, but it's become less intense. But if we keep on continue to practice, then the defilement becomes weaker and weaker, and eventually it will eliminate, it disappear, it subsides. It's a gradual training. So they say it's important that we don't judge ourselves. So if you don't judge yourself, we have the confidence in ourselves. So it's not only a special beings, not only only monks and nuns only can do it. No, even you can see that from the Buddhists, you know, even some people apparently seems like that the defilements is very gross, and they got enlightened. So never judge yourself. You never know. So they say it's important. If you don't judge yourself, you don't judge others. So when you don't judge yourself, you have a loss of confidence in yourself, that is possible. So I offer this for your reflections, and may this teaching be of benefit to all of you. Thank you for listening. So any questions or comments? The first question is, how do I deal with a person who is ignorant, negative, and have bad karma? None of our business, isn't it? Sometimes we can't change. I mean, yeah, we can do our best. The only thing that we can change ourselves. We can't avoid to be with people that are negative, that is ignorant, you know. The most important thing, how we relate to that person, you know, because we can't change others. We can only change ourselves. Just imagine if I think that, you know, I got to change Sister Opeka, I had to change all the nuns in the monastery, I'd be very busy all the time. Isn't it? So, yes, sometimes we do with people is ignorant, negative, and have bad karma, so we have this compassion. Compassion is not a matter of, oh, I feel sorry for you, I pity for you. If the near enemy of compassion is pity, that is come from the ego. A true compassion, we have the understanding. The understanding, the person's situation, the person suffering, how the person see things, how the person's the situation. Because come from our own experience, the more we understand our own suffering, then we become more compassionate. We understand the suffering of others. So the only way we can deal with people that is ignorant, negative, and have a bad karma, we have compassion. Because we can understand through the understanding of the suffering of the other person. Because if someone negative is loss of suffering, because when you have negative emotion, it's very draining. You feel very tired, and it's very unpleasant. So that person is suffer. If you can see that that person is suffer, then you have compassion. You deal with that compassion with the person, and not try to change that person, but have compassion towards that person. So the question two is, if I have tried my best practicing the path, but is still not free of negative state of mind at the end of this life, will I still be get a good rebirth? Oh, I'm not the Buddha. Oh, I can't guarantee you. Oh. And because sometimes that this is the worry. You know, when we worry something in the future, that is the negativity towards the future. So sometimes that is rather than we worry about what things might and might not happen. So we make the most of it now. We practice now. Because now it's just like a perpuncture. It's just like a speculation. You see? We don't know, isn't it? Rather than we spend all our time, you know, project what is going to happen, worrying and what about the future, what is going to happen. So we bring our mind back to this moment. If we be able to live in this moment, moment by moment, take one day at a time. So one day at a time. So this moment. So we don't know what is going to happen in the future. So if we be able to live in this moment, and only one moment you have no negativities, then we create the next moment. So then it's easier. If because sometimes when you know, it's the same thing, like for example, like myself, also very busy. I have lots of things to do. Sometimes it's not how much work that you do that is really matter. Sometimes that because we're thinking about it, that is the problem. That's lots of, because the moment you think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then you spend half a day thinking about you're going to do, and then you haven't started to do anything yet. You know, one thing at a time, you start to do, you know, you prioritize what is more important. So we take one thing at a time. So we don't project into the future, you know, how what happened if I still not free of negativities, you know, end of this life. So because it's just project, and then we spend our energy, wasting our time and energy, isn't it? And worry about the future. This moment is important. Never underestimate the power of now. So living in the moment, present moment awareness. We live from moment moment to moment. This moment, even only if you have only one moment of positiveness, so you create the next positive moment, isn't it? So then the next and the next. So when you look at like that, it's doable, isn't it? But you look at this, whoa, lifelong. Then you think that it's very difficult. So you break it down one day at a time. This moment. One moment at a time. One moment of positiveness. So you create the next positive moment. So the next positive moment, you create the next and the next and the next. It's just like the water. Each drops. Drop by drop. Eventually, it will fill the whole bucket. So that is not to worry too much, you know, about our future. So now is important. Live in the moment. Question 3. John from Calcutta. Could you kindly explain briefly how to believe in yourself, especially when you have been laid off from work several times? How to overcome the anger over who sacked you? Thanks. Yes. Being sacked is not a good thing, isn't it? It's very upset, isn't it? Yeah. And actually, belief in ourselves. Actually, this has to come, because this is a whole path of practice, you see. So, if we want, the first thing that we want to believe in ourselves, the first thing that we have to trust ourselves. So the trust is important. So when we trust ourselves, then we'll be able to really believe ourselves. But of course it's not easy. So, and it's especially, you know, like a lot of people just always come to me, they want me to give them the, straightforward answer, you know, and give them like a recipe, you know, okay, I give you the answer, okay, you do that, okay, you solve your problem. I can't solve your problem, you know. If I can do that, you know, if I can give you the secret recipe, I got enlightened long ago. So actually, you have to take up the whole path of practice. So the first thing, actually, with the morality. The morality is the foundation of a peaceful mind. Without the morality, it's very difficult. Lots of people come to Buddhism, they think that they just meditate. You can't. You got to have the supported by the morality. When you have to strengthen your, you know, we have to remove the coarser level of defilements first. Purify our bodily action and speech. Then you have a peaceful mind. So when we have a peaceful mind, then we've developed this wisdom. And this is a whole path of practice. And this anger, you can do loving kindness meditation to help to overcome the anger, but you still have to to keep the precept, to be to have the morality to support. Because a lot of people think that they just sit on the cushions of may I be well, may I be happy, and then they try to use loving kindness to get rid of the anger, and it doesn't work that way. The loving kindness is I remember someone tell me that sometimes if you do loving kindness, it's just like putting honey over the sheet. May I be well, may I be happy, and they still, the more they do it, the more angry they feel. It's true, because they try to use it as a technique to suppress the emotion, and it doesn't work. Because when you keep the precept, because the precept, if you live a virtuous life, because the five precepts is all rooted in the first one, non-harming, non-violent, not including ourselves, not harming ourselves and others. So when we keep that well, we are naturally kind. We have naturally have the loving kindness and compassion. When we have that, that helps us to weaken our anger. Then with that, based on that, and we can practice loving kindness meditation. That is help. Loving kindness meditation is based on the understanding that we sincerely wish ourselves well. So we look at our own loveliness, the whatever good that we have done, the good qualities in ourselves, then we just consciously bring that up. Reflect on our own goodness. If you can't find anything good about yourself, it's fine. You still can wish yourself well, isn't it? Say yourself good wishes, may I be well, may I be sincerely wish yourself well. That is true loving kindness. Because you say, okay, if you are good, I love you. You are no good, I don't love you. So true loving kindness is unconditioned. So send loving kindness, practice loving kindness towards ourselves. It's one of the way to overcome, anger. And also can send loving kindness towards the person, like the person who said you. Then you have loving kindness. Because sometimes that we have to look at that person, that they have their own, sometimes that because that person said you, that because he also has his own, reason why he do so, isn't it? Because it's easy for us to complain about the other person. But the other person also have his own, suffering too, Sometimes he got to make decision. So if the person don't sack you, maybe he has to be, the hierarchy will sack him, So sometimes you have kindness, compassion towards ourselves and to others. And this is not, we can just overcome this, overnight. It's really this, this type of practice. The Buddha said, this is a training the mind. So training the mind is just like the bodybuilder. You build the body, It's not happen overnight. So you have to keep practicing. Then only you can overcome. You cannot do it overnight. Like the bodybuilder, you cannot say, I go to the gym, for one day, I stop one day, 3 days, and I do it again one day, and I stop 3 days, The muscle will never build up. The mental muscle is the same. We have to keep practicing. So we keep in the precept. So daily life, day to day, mindfulness, living in the moment, try to pay attention to our everyday, in our daily life, whatever we do, so we try to pay attention moment to moment awareness, and that to develop the mindfulness, then that we carry over to this sitting, when we sit to practice this samadhi, this focus, the mind, the focus of the mind, the concentration. So when we have a strong mindfulness, then that is help. Because this mindfulness and stillness, they go hand in hand together. It support that. then it's important. Then they have to practice meditation. So, and everyday life and day at day to day, you know, everyday daily mindfulness, sitting in meditation, keeping the precept. That is the whole path of practice. This training, we have to take up the whole path of practice. We cannot only choose one. We cannot set only a practice meditation. If you don't keep the precept, it doesn't work. So it's just like you're making a cake. We cannot set that only put flour to bake a cake. You can't, isn't it? So the same thing. So it will not happen overnight. So it takes a long time. So I hope that is answer this person's questions. Any more questions? Or comments?
Yes. Can I say something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Ajahn Hasbana, you know, the suffering, you know, in Buddhism, which we read, we hear and talk about, it's actually our feelings, isn't it? The feeling brought about from our mind, the five aggregates. Isn't it? What do you think? It's the feeling.
Because it's not, actually, the suffering is come from the feeling itself is not a problem. You know, whatever we experience is not a problem. The holding on, the clinging on to the object, that is the problem. Like I always like to tell people this one of the terikatas. I really like this one of the enlightened monks, because when I read this, it really struck me so hard. And I mentioned it quite a few times, so I mentioned again. And this monk, he's an enlightened monk, so he wrote a gatha, you know, when he's got enlightened. So he used to practice this asupa practice. So contemplations of the foulness of the body. So as usual, this monk went to the chana grounds, to contemplate on the, do this asupa practice, the contemplations of this foulness. Then in front of him there was a female corpse, and it started to really quite bad, like bloated, and it's really smelly, and he was doing that contemplation. So and while he was doing the contemplation, he has this lust aroused in him, and that moment he was really disgusted. That how come, you know, this body is really disgusting, and I have lust aroused in me. And that moment actually he got enlightened, because he realized that it's not the female body is a problem. Is what arising in his mind and the holding on. Because if you leave it alone, you'll be able to just let it arising and pass away. Then it's just observe the arising and the passing away of all the feelings. It's just the feelings. The feelings come and go. But the suffering is come from the holding on. That we make it to be me and mine. We try to own the feelings. That's the suffering. You got what I mean?
Sorry, Ken. This is a discussion, okay? Yeah. But don't you think it's the feeling, you know, the bad feeling or the negative? Suffering. That's what I think. I might be wrong. It's just a discussion.
The suffering is come from the holding on. Like, for example, if you have the right understanding, you know that this thing come and go, it will not bother you, it's just feelings. It's just feeling. Because it's come and go. You know? So that's why the Buddha said we have this distorted view. We take it to be something solid. Yeah. We make it solid.
But for a normal person who doesn't know all this,
yes.
That is that suffering, isn't it?
Yeah. Because they make it to be me and mine. They try to make it solid.
Yeah, it's the feeling then, isn't it, for a normal person?
Yeah.
Sorry.
When we don't see things as they really are, it's a suffering. Even, you know, it's just like non-self is not that there's nothing there. It's just like the Buddha said, you can't say there is nothing because the arising can be seen. And you cannot say there is something. The ending of thing can be seen. So it's neither here or there, you know what I mean? But because we make it to be something, you know, solid, that is the suffering, that is the clinging, holding on, that is the cause of the suffering.
Okay. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Yes, any more questions or comments? So no, then we can okay. Thank you. All right.